Hey everybody, welcome back to Solid Performance Solutions. I'm Chris McCabe. I am here with Matt from Product Pinion. Matt, you've been on this before. You're back. We have a lot to talk about. How have you been with all your travels?
Good, man. Very good. I'm very happy to be, I don't typically get homesick, but I think after the last little month and a half of traveling, I was homesick. I was just like, I want to be home with the kids.
Yeah. Same here, minus the kids. But after I did back-to-back Asia trips and I came home, I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to be here through springtime.
Yeah.
And you went to several conferences. I want to pick your brain a little bit about the top areas of interest that sellers had when they spoke to you at the Poland conference, and maybe you were in Prague as well, even in London, because there's so many challenges people face. We can talk about tariffs and things like that in a minute, but what are European, like UK, German, other European countries, what do they have top of mind when they see you and talk to you in person?
Yeah. So obviously there's a lot of uncertainty, and they're especially stateside with the tariffs, this, that, whatever. But I think that's what these conferences are really great for. I mean, obviously connecting with fellow sellers, but it's also just like touching base with people that are in the same boat as you is comforting in of itself, right? The general sentiment has been like, hold steady, don't panic, that sort of thing. Right. And I know there's a lot of talk about, I mean, obviously when I'm at a conference, we're usually presenting on testing and how to improve what you have versus risking on a new product launch. So a lot of the conversations I was having was, you know, like, how do I squeeze more of a click-through rate or conversion rate on the existing listings? How do I make sure that I'm making every dollar work harder for me as is, versus diving into, say, new products or new niches where it might be a little bit more unknown territory? That's the kind of feel and vibe I was getting. And then also just like sharing, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? How are we going to get through this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not exactly rampant expansion time where you're creating new ASINs to go with new accessories or some new kind of expansion into a new product line. That's kind of when markets are hot and when sales are heavy and when competition's a little bit less or costs are maybe a little bit less. So I figured you'd have conversations with people who are like, I don't know, maybe some people are doubling down because of the tariffs. Maybe we can talk about the tariffs for a second, because I'm wondering, maybe you can tell me if you share this view. I would think larger brands are trying to absorb more market share by doubling down, knowing that some of their competition, which conceivably could be smaller brands with less resources, might be falling into the background a little bit.
Yeah, totally. That's the other way to look at it as well. So with any kind of uncertainty, with entrepreneurship, there's no short of uncertainty. And it's when you have these kind of uncertain times that you can actually grow massively as well too. So you can look upon it as an opportunity. So there was talk about that as well, where it's like, well, you know what? This might be great, because now all those annoying kind of maybe sellers that are willing to, they're just dumping inventory or whatever it is that are eating up your market share, they're going to be gone, right? It is survival of the fittest. And if you can endure the tough things, then, you know, you're going to be there for the long term. So yeah, I have heard that take on it too. But I believe in that as well. There's always opportunity for growth. Like, obviously when COVID happened, that was a whole shock to the system too, but obviously there's a lot of bread, you know, depending on the niche, depending on how you pivot, you can make a lot of money from the uncertainty as well.
So is it easier for you to get people to try different tests, to experiment a little bit? Are they more open-minded now because they have to be for strategy purposes and they're not as conservative and safe and just let's go with what's working? Are they kind of more open about that?
Honestly, yeah, it feels that way, especially at the conferences that we've been to. People want to like do stuff, like, because they feel like they're stuck with, say, shipping. I know myself, I was holding inventory as well too, trying to wait to see what's going to happen with the tariffs. And so people still want to be doing things. And obviously testing is something that you can be doing and should be doing all the time, because it's those incremental gains that will lead to bigger success. And it felt like Yeah, a lot of people at these conferences are not only just open to it, they're almost like hungry for it. It's like, hey, like show me a case study in my niche and with the main image, this, that. Like there's a lot of good conversations around how to actually, you know, start working on the business end and testing.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I like what you said about the networking, especially at the European conferences, because you get it in so many languages. You know, there's like English language content, and ours is kind of like some English, and there's some French content from the speakers, but also the networking. You get to hug it out when times are rough. Like now, not just with other sellers, I mean, with other sellers who understand you, your business the most, but also with people who work with sellers a lot, you know. That's kind of the strongest or most interesting part of this community for me, is the benefit you get from just talking to somebody who's in the same boat, right? And we see good side and bad side of that, because sometimes people talk about appealing for reinstatement, like something's suspended, their ASIN's down. And sometimes in networking, they actually get a bad idea, not a good idea, but still you have the chance of getting a good idea. And then maybe they don't have to bring somebody like me into it, which costs money, or they throw the bad idea away quickly and they adopt the better idea because they heard it from somebody else who was in the same networking session.
Another part that came out too, just as a specific example, like at the Global Sellers Amazon Business Know-How in Warsaw, obviously there's a lot of people to Poland. And I mean, you meet a bunch of people, but I met some people that had connections with suppliers right in Poland. So Poland has like a lot of manufacturers that are
Okay.
in furniture. Like IKEA makes a lot of furniture from Poland as well. And then it got me thinking, like, oh, because obviously people are trying to diversify away from China potentially. So yeah, that like was leading itself into another opportunity and idea. And it was just from having a one-off conversation of how something could potentially work. So you never know when you start talking to people of what you can actually get connected with, and then and also problems you might have that can be solved.
That's true. I mean, I went to a conference in Turkey a couple of years ago, and Turkey has a lot of manufacturing. I didn't even know this really before I got there. The multiple day thing was Amazon sellers, but a lot of manufacturers were there as well. So it kind of doubled as a Canton Fair type experience. So it sounds like Poland was similar. That's cool. I'll have to check that one out. What else have you spent most of your time talking about in conversations you've had, either with clients or prospective clients? Is it just kind of like, let the waters and the dust settle from the tariffs? And are the tariffs even going to stay at this level? Are they going to shoot back up? If somebody's unhappy with the trade terms, I mean, it's only a 90-day reprieve, and we're only 10 days into that 90 days. So.
Yeah, I think it's like right now it's go time just to get the stuff over as fast and as best as you can.
Right.
So like personally what I'm doing, I've had stuff at factories for way too long, and even before the tariffs, I should have shipped things, like, you know, it's always would have, could have, should have, right? In any case, I have one deal with one manufacturer, which was great, is that I don't have to pay until the product is sent over. But to save money, I'll do like an order that's like four times as large as a typical order. So I can actually manufacture a whole bunch at the time, store it in China, and then only pay for me to ship it over. So it's kind of a good deal. But with the tariffs coming up, I'm like, yeah, I'm not shipping anything, right? It just doesn't make sense. So now my game plan is, I mean, obviously being based in Canada, I have a little bit more leeway. So it's like I'm going to ship everything into Canada. Obviously, if I'm still shipping from Canada to the US, it can still get hit because the origin is China. I get it. But then at least I have a little bit more, you know, if things shift and change, I have the time to ship from Canada to the US is much shorter. So I have a little bit of more playground, I guess, in that regard. The other thing I'm doing for another brand, and this is more so off Amazon, is actually switching to a 3PL in Canada that will ship to the US as needed, and then just mention on the order that, hey, whatever the tariff is, you're responsible for it. So we're actually passing the tariff on to the end customer. In this case, it's a business product. So I don't think there'll be as, I'm hoping it's not going to be as big of an issue. And it's kind of a very expensive product. And I think as a business owner, you're expecting taxes and duties anyway. So a little bit heightened dollar amount shouldn't change things that dramatically. Hopefully, that's the plan. But then at least that's one way to kind of like shift it from cost from my side to the end user, which isn't ideal, obviously, for anyone. But hey, it makes it work,
yeah.
Basically.
I mean, we could talk about tariffs all day, which we don't want to, but the 80 days left, you know, we're mid to late May. So that pushes you past Prime Day. But is that designed to just fall right before Q4 starts? Or was that just arbitrary? Because then the next thing is, what if when this reprieve is over and they don't like the trade negotiations and how that's going, all of a sudden it goes from 30% back up to like 80% right before Q4?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I haven't heard that many people posing it that way, but is that something you think about or hear people talking about?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I mean, that's a good question mark. I mean, I guess the best thing you can do is like expect the unexpected. So, yep. You know, within this 90 days, if you can get whatever inventory you can, obviously I would do it. There was some talk also of like, obviously, you know, there's different shipping methods and I'm no expert on in that regard, but there was some talk of doing DDP, so delivered duties paid. And then how that can work is it gets sent to, it might get graded as less value than it's actually worth. So there's some ways to try to mitigate the tariff pricing and costs and that sort of thing. But if you get caught, or whoever the importer is gets caught for doing that stuff, obviously there's big repercussions for that. So that was some conversations that I've heard, like how are people, if it goes back up, even the amount now, but if it goes back up, like how are people going to still play ball? And that's something that keeps coming up. Interestingly enough, I'm actually in the middle of also fighting a tariff thing with DHL, where they just, so I had product shipped. I thought it was clear from the window of when these massive tariffs, like a 20% and a 25% on top of that, were going to hit. Apparently, it wasn't clear. And then DHL just slapped the a $10,000 US invoice on me.
Yikes.
So yeah, that's one thing that I'm playing with. Interestingly enough, DHL doesn't have customer service at the moment anymore. You try to call, you try to get in touch, they just default to email. Takes a really long time to get a response, but they do allow you to make a case and do this sort of thing. And so that's something I'm working with, where hopefully I'm not super optimistic, but it's something that I'm working with in the interim as well.
Interesting. Cool. And then in terms of events, I mean, we'd love to have you in France. It doesn't look like you're going to be able to make it to this one. There's also Amazon Accelerates coming up in September, which I'm sure will be here before you know it. So I don't know. We go to that one. I don't know if you go to that one each year, but it's interesting how events have really gone global. I mean, I went to Seller Kingdom in Korea. I went to Gary Huang's Japan event last year. And it's like, I think we're finally getting to the point I thought we would have hit 5 years ago, where brands are just going to have to be global to get as much revenue out of all of these marketplaces as possible to compete, because you can't just rely, like, in my opinion, at least, most brands in Europe can't assume that they're going to have that market share forever, and that no one in the US will come in because of tariffs and start selling their brand to compete with them, especially because of tariffs, but also Chinese sellers and sellers from elsewhere. So do you think we're going to finally get to the point where everyone wants to sell in every marketplace, or is that still kind of like, that's the dream, but maybe still several years away?
No, for sure. People are definitely thinking about that. It's basically just to diversify and become less risky, right? So yeah, that has been a lot of talk. And I know a few sellers that have been looking into that as well too. And there was another seller telling me how they had product destined for the US, and then they actually, they had it relabeled so they could sell it in Europe, basically, because of that. Yeah. So there is a lot of that, that shift as well too. And I mean, yeah, sure. If it doesn't hurt to, if you can get into another market, why not?
I know.
Easier said than done though, of course, right? Like every market has its own.
Yeah. In Europe, I mean, Japan was a good example because there's lots of, you know, kind of paperwork and some regulatory barriers there. And Europe is famous, selling in Germany, selling in different marketplaces for, you know, regulatory, not easy barriers to overcome to enter, perhaps, but possibly worth it. You know, maybe if you take a second look at it, and maybe for some brands, there is an opportunity because maybe there are some complacent brands in Europe who are just accustomed to getting their market share like pushing a button every year. And maybe that creates an opportunity for disruption, you know? So,
Absolutely.
yeah. All right. Well, how can people reach you if they don't see you in one of these many global events that you're attending?
Yeah, totally. So, obviously productpinion.com, we have a free trial. You can test this out, ask 20 shoppers for feedback on basically anything. But otherwise shoot me an email, matt@productpinion.com. Happy to help out where I can.
All right. And if I don't make my way to Toronto, I will see you somewhere in the world in the near future. And maybe if nothing else, I'll see you in Seattle in September. But definitely let me know if you're back in New York or in Boston because we still have events we're doing
Yeah,
there too. So
totally.
once we get
Sounds
past seller velocity, there's all kinds of stuff we can do.
good. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again for everybody listening in. Questions for Matt, get in touch with Product Pinion, and we'll catch you next time.